You were born an original. Don't die a copy. This is Thought for Today. Dr. Herbert O. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. You were born an original. Don't die a copy. Now, we're not concerned about dying. That should be the last thing that we're concerned about. But we are concerned about the idea that we are born an original. When John Mason made this statement years ago, he was talking to a society of people who were not living up to what they could, not being all that they could. And I'm talking to you and me because we are not living up to all that we can be. What is it that we are the original of? Are we the original divine integrity, the divine expression of all that is good and beautiful, the archetypal self? Are we all these things? Well, in a way, yes, we are, and in a way, we are not. We have made this statement, you like that, we have made this statement that God is all. Any problem there?
No.
All right. God is in all, through all, as all. And God is expressing itself in a tree as a tree. In man as man. In a rock as a rock. In a dog and leaf of grass or whatever. As those things. Now, all of God is there, but expressing as that. How can that be, you ask? How can you ever have all of God in you and only express a part of it? Well, in our limited awareness and our limited manner of thinking about it, this is something that will make it sense. You are a little boy, and you are in the little league. You're playing baseball, and you are playing shortstop, or you're playing pitcher, whatever you're playing. And as you play this in the little league, you are God playing shortstop in the little league as God. Even though you're all God, you're only expressing that amount of God. Now, you're the little boy, 10, 12 years old, and you're reading a book about King Arthur and Merlin. And you put the book down for a moment, and you visualize yourself as King Arthur. You visualize yourself as Merlin, the magician. You visualize yourself as creating all these magical, wonderful things and being where you want to be, demonstrating that you're there and not there as you wish. I mean, you're there as God, expressing as Merlin, as King Arthur, or as a 12-year-old boy reading a book. You see, you are all these things. Now, do you have the capacity to be the allness of God right now? Well, you are the allness of God right now, but you have not paid attention to that. So, you were born an original. An original what? An original allness. What is allness? Well, allness is whatever you think would be fun to be at the moment. So, as they had a little item in the National Geographic for May, and it says, or rather Discovery Magazine, it said, the people of the world, no matter what they are, always want to be something different. The people who are white want to be tan. The people who are brown want to be white. The people who are tan want to be black, or they want to be red, or they want to be people. And that's just colors. People who are whatever color, they want to be a different color. Now, why are they not happy with the color that they have chosen for themselves? Well, because they think that looking at other people and how they act is much more charming. Is much more charming. What did the American boy want to become? He wanted to be an Indian. Did he want to be a cowboy? Some. But the majority wanted to be Indians. It was much more exciting being an Indian than it was to be a cowboy. Now, not that being a cowboy wasn't exciting in itself, for it was not glamorized as much as the Indian was. The Indian was glamorized in the American scene and throughout the world. And so the children and young people all wanted to be Indians. The girls wanted to be Indians, the boys wanted to be Indians. They all thought that'd be real cool. So then along comes a different century, and the century of astronauts. So what does every kid want to be? An astronaut. But you see, being an astronaut's not all that much fun. You have to go get your doctorate. You have to go to college and university. You have to go to space school. You have to do physics and things that you might not be interested in. Now, it's true, astronauts are being taken from other walks of life too, like school teachers and what have you. But that's not being an astronaut. That's merely being somebody who goes up into a spaceship.
It's being a passenger.
That's the perfect word, a passenger. You are not really a participant. You are only a participant as a passenger would be. You don't run the show. You don't run the controls of the ship. And, of course, even the astronaut doesn't do that because that's all prefigured in NASA beforehand. But the fun of the imagination of being up there, and, of course, there's these science fiction movies that we have where the astronauts or whatever these fellows are really running their spaceships where they want them to go. And in a different culture, and they run into different people, strange people from all over. Well, it's exciting. Well, we were born an original, and we might inspire ourselves to be an original, inspire ourselves to be who we really are, to find out what that spark is that is within us that wants to come out. Well, now, the only way we find out what the spark is within us that wants to come out is by looking at the spark. How do you look at the spark? Well, you look at the spark by seeing who you are, by seeing what type of person you are, and what sort of imagination you have. Now, could you change from a timid person to a very powerful person in just a moment? They do, you know. Hillary, when he was climbing Mount Everest, he was a very shy person. But not about climbing on the ice, not about climbing that mountain. I can do it, and he did it. And he was just like our John Charles Daney, you know. He has this, I can do it, and he goes and does it. And he is just wonderfully concerned about the trip, about the adventure. And he sees that he can do it. Now, that was his, you might call it, original stuff. Now, what's next for him? What's next for him? Well, you know what's next for him is nothing, absolutely nothing. What did Hillary do after he had climbed the mountain, and because he befriended the people and knew the people so well over there, what did he do?
He worked for the Sherpas.
He wanted to give something back to them. So he began to build schools for them, hospitals. He began to do, in very simple, primitive ways, but all the money that he received in from his activity, he turned over to be of a benefit to them. Now, oh, that is noble. That is fabulous. That is great. Well, he doesn't think so. He thinks that's just what you do. That's because you love your neighbor. Now, he climbed the mountain because something inside of him said, climb the mountain. He did it at home first. He climbed the Swiss Alps, the Alps in New Zealand first, and did a great job. And so then he went over to Mount Everest and did a great job. But he didn't climb it because he wanted to be better than somebody else. He didn't climb it because he wanted to show up somebody. He climbed it because it was there. It was like a something for him to do. Now, when he finished climbing it and went to the top, he accomplished it, the highest mountain in the world. Then, as these Sherpas were helping him, and with his humility, and I'm sure he had a great sense of humility, he immediately won over these people, and they won him over to themselves, and they became camaraderie, you know, and were beginning to be wonderful with each other. And he says, I'm going to come back and put up a school for you guys. I'm going to come back and put up a hospital and do that. And they've never heard that before, because they didn't have a lot of people climbing. The history of climbing was not all that great, but a few did. And most people who went there just went there for their personal pride and then stopped. But he came back, and he did these things, and he cared. You were born an original. Now, what kind of an original was Hillary? He was an original who just liked himself and did his own thing. Oh, I'm sure he had some faults that some people found in him, but more people found good in him than faults. Now, where do you stand? Where do you stand? Do you stand with finding good in yourself more than faults? Do you stand? Well, if you do, then you won't die a copy, because you will be constantly escalating your own understanding of yourself. You'll constantly be revealing more and more of the goodness within you. Now, Hillary had the revelation of the idea that he liked his neighbors, you know, do unto others. And no one would have dreamed that of him when he first went up there, because he was so quiet and so reserved. But in his heart, that was his nature. And so naturally, that was what he did. Now, can he ever die a copy? Oh, no way. From the very thing that he does and continues to do all of his life, he is always being an original. Because everything he does is from his heart, is from his soul, is from his divine reality. And he will be great. Now, are you ready to have that greatness within you? Are you ready to be an original?
Yes.
Well, if you are an original, you will never say, I want to do that too. You will never say, I have a right to have that too. You'll never say, why are you doing this all for them and not for me? You know, you will never want something that you do not create for yourself by your own attitude, by your own word, by your own expression, because you'll just be what you are. And that's the fun of it. That's the fun of anything in life, to be yourself and have fun. And you can be sure that Hillary did that. You can be sure that this Italian fellow who went up there without any breathing equipment in the 1980s and got to the top and did what he had to do and then came back down. And of course, I don't know what he has done since, whether his claim to fame has touched other areas or whatever, but it doesn't matter. He did his thing. He did his thing. He climbed the mountain, and he came down. And he climbed it without oxygen and what have you. Now, he may have physical and mental problems as time goes on, but...
That's amazing.
Yeah, he may have physical and mental problems as time goes on because of lack of oxygen and things, or he may not. But he did what he wanted to do. He was willing to pay the price to do what he was willing to do. Now, these men who climb Mount Everest are willing to pay the price, and many do, with their lives. There were quite a few thousand who have been killed on the mountain. But that's part of the game. That's part of the game. Why more were not killed on that mountain in such dangerous world, you know? And so, yeah, there are trails, but you don't know them. You just visualize them because you say, well, that's where it's supposed to be, because there's no street signs up there and there's no paved roads, you know? But the Sherpas know the way. They've been there. And if really we look at it this way. Climbing Mount Everest is going to heaven. And different people want to go to heaven. They want to go up the back side, the forward side, the side side, the many different ways. But here is the kicker. The Sherpas go up and down with these guys continuously. They're leading them where they're going. Now, what other name would you give the Sherpas? You might call them angels.
Yes.
And how charming. And these angels are human beings, you know, just as the tripsters are human beings, but the angels have their task, and they do it well. And it's charming. It's utterly, utterly charming. So you're born an original. You continue being an original in every wonderful, dynamic, fantastic way. And watch how much you enjoy life and how much good you get out of life and how you don't compare your life to anyone else. You just be yourself and have fun, because that's what it's all about. You're born an original. Don't die a copy. I love you. I love you. I love you.